Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Cheryl Swoops writing and rewriting history. First ever national title for Texas Tech.
Jonathan Garibay. The boot is away. And it's gone.
If it helps your recording, isn't that better?
Okay, first of all, we are recording. I don't know if he's on a countdown. welcome on and welcome all to the Tortillas and Takes podcast. You are on once again with your boy, Albie Shore. And Jeremy has his head in his hands. And I can't tell if that's because of the issues we've had as to turn on this recording or if it's because he just got done watching the men's basketball team. Because the men's basketball team ain't looking much better than the beginning of this podcast so far. The men's basketball team are 0-8 in conference. They don't look good. There's really no easy way to say it. I mean, just recently, Tech played probably the most winnable game. I think everybody agreed coming into this that this game is that if Tech's going to win a game, if they're going to find a way to win a game, it's going to be this game here. And Jeremy, I mean, I know I usually introduce you correctly, but Texas Tech played West Virginia at home and got whooped. Got beat by 15 to West Virginia team that if we're the worst team in conference, they're eighth or ninth at home. That's the game to win. And we took another L. So people's champ, Jeremy Gillen, introduce yourself.
What's up, everybody? Yes, this beginning to this podcast is, boy howdy, we are having a time with our software and just not being in the same city. It's tough out here, folks. It's also really tough for the men's basketball team. I mean, we are 0-8 in conference. We are refusing to find ways to win. We are repeating the same. Scenario each game, right? Strong start, you think, they got it fixed. We're on the turnaround. Back and forth, you lead at the half, thank God. This game, we actually didn't lead at the half, so maybe things are getting worse. And then you just get pummeled in the second half. I don't know what's going on. You lose Pop Isaacs in this game. AMAC is out of this game. They're the Boot Brothers on the bench pretty much halfway through the second half. I mean, what do you say? You got a bunch of L's on the schedule here. What's the redeeming quality? I mean, you said it. You say it best. You know, there's no moral victories unless you suck. And boy, I tell you. I don't think our team sucks, but the record is increasingly not in my favor there.
If you don't think this team sucks, Jeremy, you're in the minority. This is not a good team. This is simply not a good team. And every game they look worse. If you come to me and you tell me that this was the worst loss of the season, I will not argue against it. I think this might be worse than that Iowa State beatdown we got a few weeks back. At home against one of the lesser than teams in the conference, this was a game you just had to win. This was the game to get you off the snide. This was the game to kind of salvage the season a little bit. And this is the game that not only do you lose, you're down at halftime, like you said, and you get whooped in the second half. Like, this was not a good game whatsoever. I mean, there's really, and it was kind of made worse with the fact that Pop Isaacs being in the boot, like being that just amplified it, because now the lone bright spot on the team, one, he started the game off struggling a little bit, which is fine, but the lone bright spot on the team, now he's hurting, he's out, and he's in a boot, and we don't know how long he's going to be out for. And it's just, you know, O'Banner had a decent game, 20 points, 8 rebounds in this game, but we've talked about it before. If you're needing O'Banner to be your leading scorer, and you're needing O'Banner to do this, that, and the other, it's just probably not going to be a good game or a good season for you, right? Same thing with Davion Harmon, to be honest. If you need him to be your leading scorer, it's probably going to be a good game, and those are the only two guys that can get the ball in the basket. It's just, we keep finding ways to find new lows. And this game against West Virginia, we have reached a new low. Not only are we the worst team in conference, there's not even a question anymore. Like, it's not even a debate. It's not even this is not a good team. And before I was saying it's not a good team by Big 12 standards. I think now I'm about to change it. It's just not a good team. It's just a period. It's not a good team. There's a lot of L's we're racking up. And then injuries are now being compounded. And it's rough out here. It's rough.
You have given up 70 or near 70. I mean, you have two 68-point losses. But let's just say you've given up 70-plus points in almost every conference game. TCU is a standout. You lost 67-61. Oklahoma 68-63. Kansas State 68-58. But West Virginia threw up 76 on you. Baylor threw up 81 on you. Iowa State 84. Good Lord. Kansas 75. Like, this, they were talking about it on the broadcast that, like, this defense, this Texas Tech defense, I mean, there were sparks where, like, well, this is what the Texas Tech defense is known for. But, I mean, sparks in the middle of the ocean, because the defense that you've had this season against your actual opponents, your conference, dismal. I mean, you talk about refusing to guard the perimeter. You talk about refusing to go up for rebounds. And the rebound disparity always feels worse than it actually is, and on average. I mean, because there's multiple games in conference where you think, like, oh, my God, we are just getting out-rebounded. But ultimately, it was neck and neck, if not just, you know, a little bit in the other team's favor. But it just feels like you don't have a dominating presence underneath the basket. You're allowing other teams to get an excessive amount of second chance looks. And your defense just isn't stifling in the way that people have come to expect it. We have built this brand, without stating it like that, right? And it has fallen apart in a season. I mean, you were in the Sweet 16 last season. This is a meteoric, a biblical breakdown of a team identity. And it seems like you can't get anything going. You got nobody giving you any kind of real spark. And Pop Isaacs was, like I said, the lone ranger there. And now he's down. And so it's like, I don't see a single path to victory. I don't even see a path to victory this Saturday. You know, is a bad era.
I will say, so we didn't have an episode earlier this week. And we didn't get a chance to recap the K-State game. When it comes to defense, it was probably the best defensive game we've seen from Texas Tech in a while, was going to Manhattan, playing arguably the best team in the conference in the Kansas State Wildcats. And they played really well. But again, they're finding new ways to disappoint the fan base every game, because they did something that we haven't had in a while. We've given up hope at this point, and they gave us hope back. We're leading at halftime. We're playing really well. The defense is finally there, right? A big part of that is because of Fardaw's AMAC really holding down the middle. His athleticism improved from the previous game. And you're like, okay, we're starting to see it. It's starting to no middle. They're not able to come in the middle. We're getting something done. And then, you know, I actually think this is what sparked it. the Keontae Johnson, which they've done a good job of holding Keontae Johnson for most of the game, but he had that dunk, that breakaway dunk that went, that should have been a foul call, but it went all the way and then just jammed it home, right, off the steal. And from that moment, K-State just went on a tear. They went on a run. I think that dunk might have been to either take the lead or get close to the lead. But from that moment, at one point it was 50-50, tie game, and K-State went on a 10-0 run. The game was over. Like, just like that, right? When it was winning time, Tech wasn't able to do it, right? At one point, we were up 8, remember, 45-37, and they let K-State come all the way back to take the lead. They went on a 9-0 run, right? And then when it's tied up, you let them go on a 10-0 run. And just like that, it's – so from 45-37 to 60-50, right? It's a 23-5 run, game's over. Game's over just like that when it's winning time. And that was a tough one. That was one the fan base couldn't just take on the chin. That's because one, you felt like you had it. You felt like you were the better team for 30 of the 40 minutes and just let it go when it was winning time. And then you double that up by just a terrible showing compounded by your lone bright spot getting hurt in the game. AMAC again not playing. And it's the bright spots are lessening. You bring up me saying that there's only moral victories when you suck. Let me tell you something, Jeremy. There wasn't really any more victories in the West Virginia game. There was plenty of them in the K-State game. Don't get me wrong. There was plenty of them in the K-State game, despite the fact the team couldn't find a way to win at the end. West Virginia, there wasn't even any more victories. That was just a bad L. Probably the worst of the season. Just a really bad L.
And you know, they almost had 20 turnovers. West Virginia almost had 20 turnovers and still beat us 76-61. I don't understand. I don't understand the metrics anymore. You're out shooting them in the field. 3-point, they dominated you pretty well. Yeah, they out-rebounded the hell out of you for sure, 44-27. But you or themselves caused enough disruption. They almost had 20. Everybody's been talking about it. The refereeing in the West Virginia game on both sides, I mean, dismal. Like, unplayably bad refereeing, calling every little thing, or even if it's not a thing. That was just bad basketball, and we played the worst of the two. And oh my God, dude. And so when you look, and everybody, I think everybody's wondering, what is it, right? Because, you know, certain people, you put up, Rob Bro put up a poll that was, pretty limited, I would say. It was like, hey, is it youth or is it coaching? Are we too young, or is it just bad coaching? And I'm just like, or talent, I think you said talent, is a lack of talent or lack of coaching. And I think that's too reduction. Like, that's too small. Because I think there's so many things that have gone into the season becoming what it is. Because you got a lot of talent. But you also have good coaching. Like, I'm not going to say the guy who took us to a Sweet 16 after the team being... So we're taking Luke Adams off the table here, because that's become a really funny kind of side lore of, like, you know, we haven't won a Big 12 game since Luke Adams has been on staff, and I'm fine letting him go. Do it.
Yeah, I'm that's also making excuses for the head coach, to be honest. I mean, you know, anyone who's been a leader or a manager of any team, right? If you're somebody on your team makes the mistake, you as a manager make the mistake.
Oh, absolutely.
But go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. And so, but you look at, like, Kansas, Bill Self. People are calling for Bill Self's job because he's lost 3 games. I mean, disproportionate, and Kansas is infallibly more talented than Texas Tech. I think that this has been a bad season of coaching, but I wouldn't say we have bad coaches.
No, yeah, I would agree with that. I was about to say, like, I still don't think Mark Adams is a bad coach. I mean, like you said, he took us to the Sweet 16 last year. He's been a big piece of the Beard team's years before. So, like, I don't think he's a bad coach, but he's been coaching badly. And I think we can, it's fair to say that it's harder and harder as these games go by to avoid the elephant in the room of that. Like, that West Virginia game, it was a lot of bad coaching, right? It was a lot of, why are we doing some of these offensive sets? The motion offense, which didn't work in the Beard days, not working now, that we wanted it. It's causing these cold streaks. Some of the rotations didn't really make a lot of sense. I know that you're missing AMAC and you're missing Pop Isaacs and you're trying to get something going. A lot of that didn't make a lot of sense. And then your calling card, like we've talked about it, the no middle defense ain't no middling. it's Olay defense, right? You can't have a defense, the no middle defense, when a lot of people are going to the middle. A lot of points in the paint, a lot of drive-bys. And so there is, but we've talked about the youth, and we already knew this was a young team. We talked about adjusting for expectations for how young this team is from the very beginning. So we knew that. And then as injuries have compounded, we kind of see that, okay, the talent we thought we had at the beginning of the year isn't there, isn't as talented as we originally thought. We adjusted there. But there's that third part of the coaching hasn't been great. Right, there's no doubt the coaching has not been great, and there's some things that we still need, right? And so this is, and I talked about it a few weeks ago, like this has really now become a rebuilding season, but it's also like, yo, Coach Adams, you got to figure some stuff out, right? I'm not going to go as far as some other people. I think people are getting way too personal and getting into his personal life, getting into his family life, yep. And all this other stuff. All that's ridiculous, right? Let's talk about the coach at hand, the coaching matter at hand. And coaching-wise, there's been some things. I mean, I talk about the team that hasn't been able to win. I would argue in K-State, right, at the end of the games, we should have made some adjustments. K-State made adjustments. They made adjustments to figure out a way to stop to how to get in the paint a little bit, to how to work off those turnovers that we were committing. We didn't really make those adjustments. So how can we do that? How can we get better at these things? And I think that's something that Mark Adams and his staff can also continue to do as the season goes on. But we do have good news, Jeremy. You know the best way to help a team that's on an 8-game losing streak? Have them play a team that's on a 7-game losing streak. The LSU, we're going to Baton Rouge this Saturday, a battle of the losers, while the worst team, where the team that is tied for the worst record in the SEC plays the team with the worst record in the Big 12. It's the mid-off. It's the mid-off. Jeremy, actually, not even the mid-off, because mid just means like mediocre. We're both trash. It's the trash shop. It's the trash can bowl. Okay? And we will see what is going to happen. We need to rally together. This will be a nice road win for the guys against an LSU team. A big question is whether Pop Isaacs plays. I don't think he will, but we'll see. I'm willing to say that if Pop Isaacs plays in this game, Jeremy, Texas Tech will win the game. But give the Albie stamp of approval that if Pop plays, we will win. If he does not play, God bless us. Straight like that.
Oh, my God. So this is really funny. There was a tweet earlier about, you know, if Texas this Saturday is Texas Tech's, like, breath of life, a chance to avoid an 18-game losing streak going into the end of the season. And I replied saying, oh, so we'll just have a 10-game losing streak at the end of the season. That's much sexier. the LSU, I mean, what can you talk about the Tigers? This is a team that kind of, you know, in a lot of ways, having a really disappointing decline. They haven't been awful in the past 5 years. They've had a lot of good seasons where they've ended up middle to kind of like the top four in SEC. Like, this is a team.
Well, if you remember, Jeremy, they got those sanctions.
Yep.
This is the first year post-sanctions. So I think that's a big piece of it, too.
And now LSU is a team that's trying to rebuild, right? And so 12-8 on the year, 1-7 in conference. They have a win in conference. It's better than we could say. But, you know, they're getting smacked down pretty hard. They played Arkansas.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, let me tell you something, Jeremy. They beat Arkansas, and that was great. That was lovely. That was good for them. Like, that's an amazing win against the 9th-ranked Arkansas. I think they rushed the court and all that stuff. It was incredible. They've been awful since. Like, they played Arkansas and Kentucky back-to-back games and played them both really well. And they've been, dude, they lost by 50 to Alabama, by 50. Or wait, 40. Sorry, my math is terrible. They lost by 40 to Alabama.
It might as well have been 50,
right? Lost by 21 to Tennessee. They just got done losing 20. Arkansas came back and spun the block and beat them by 20, right? And so this is not a good team. This is flat out. Not a good team. This is a team with one really good player in Kay Williams. Like, right? Like, that Williams is he puts up 17-7. And if I'm the coach, I'm saying let Williams drop 40 on you. That is fine. KJ Williams is that guy type of player. Let him do that, and nobody else is going to score, and we're going to win the game. Right? I think predicting that KJ Williams goes 20-10, probably going to happen. He's probably going to happen. But everybody else on that team sucks. Flat out there.
Yeah, KJ Williams is definitely the O'Banner of LSU that shines better under the light. Like, so when KJ Williams becomes the spotlight, that's when he plays his best, versus like O'Banner gets the spotlight and he kind of regresses, right? So, Yeah, I mean, KJ Williams is going to be the guy to watch out for when we're – I mean, he's got to be the game plan. You take away KJ Williams, not really anybody else going to be able to step it up for LSU. Although, I will say, we do have a habit of helping those kind of no-name guys have electric nights. So let's not be afraid to say, like, hey, I don't know, Jay Hill may bust out a 30-burger on Texas Tech. And, you know, who knows what can happen.
Justice Hill is not busting out no 30-burger. Okay. Just Cam Hayes, maybe. He's their best three-point shooter. Well, actually, other than KJ Williams, is their best three-point shooter. So who knows? Maybe Cam Hayes shows up. In this game. If you want to go to this game, if you want to have a nice time in Cajun country, get some gumbo. I had jambalaya tonight for dinner. It was delicious. So get some jambalaya. You can go to the Pete Maravich Assembly Center for $2. That's how much tickets are going for. The trash can bowl is $2. You can sit in Baton Rouge and watch the 1-7 in conference LSU Tigers take on the 0-8 in conference Texas Tech Red Raiders. Yo, shout out to the Big 12 and SEC for putting us two teams together. That's fantastic. I appreciate y'all. So yeah, God, we need a win. So terribly bad. We need a win. And this is, I mean, I thought if we could get a win against West Virginia, but Lord Jesus, if we can't get a win against LSU, Jeremy, I don't know what to say. But I think we've given way too much attention to a team that is mid. And we have not given enough attention to the Texas Tech women's basketball team. That's right. The Texas Tech went off. They beat Texas. And they had a tough game at West Virginia. And I know, you know, the team beat Texas and everybody was all in. Everybody was, the Lady Raiders are, they're here. You know, they're ready to show up and show out. You know, can't believe we did this. We should be ranked, right? Plot twist, also, first time in the AP poll history since doing the AP poll that there's no Texas teams in the top 25. Some people were saying the Texas Tech should have been one of the, excuse me, should have been in the top 25 to continue that streak, but that's neither here nor there. But everybody was on board. Everybody was on board. All the Tech blue checks were ready. They were like, yes, we're behind you, ladies. We believe in you. And then we lost to West Virginia. But, you know, I know some people are disappointed by it. Jeremy, you can tell your thoughts on it. But I will say this. Texas Tech basketball, on both men and women's side, have always struggled to win at West Virginia. Right? Going into this game, and we didn't pod in between for me to say this, but I actually thought there was a very good chance we would lose this game going into West Virginia because it's at West Virginia. I actually think that women have, I think they said on the broadcast they've only won one time ever in Morgantown. It's just a tough place to win. It's a tough place to win. You're going across the country to go to West Virginia and win the game, and it's not easy. It's not easy at all. So, yeah, to Texas Tech women did lose. They lost 67-57 to West Virginia. I'm not a bad West Virginia team. This is a West Virginia team that's also fighting to have a postseason as well. So not a great loss, but still doesn't mean you say, ah, well, time to give up on them again. Still a good team, but, you know, a loss that we wish we didn't get.
Yeah, at West Virginia, that's kind of like the stamp on the whole thing is that Texas Tech teams just have a hard time in Morgantown. That, like, winning only one time in Morgantown is such a hard, you know, that puts so much pressure on players, right? It's like, hey, this could be the game that we get our second win in this arena. It's just like, how many times have we played here, coach? It's just, you know, it's the small things like that. And you are coming off of two really strong wins. You beat Kansas State in Manhattan, which was an impressive 20-point dub. And then you go ahead and beat Texas at home, which is all, I mean, Vic Schaefer. Yeah, Rick Barnes not there anymore. Vic Schaefer, you know, just owned by Coach Gerlich. And that was stacking success. It was great. But I'm with you. This West Virginia team is kind of here and there. They're doing a little bit better in conference right now. They are striving to be in the post-game or the post-conference conversation. And so their thing is like winning at home, right? And so Coach Gerlich could not – I mean, there was something about this game as I was watching it. Just couldn't get a rhythm. I think that Bree Scott was doing her thing, right? Bree Scott was doing her best. She didn't really get too involved early on. And kind of got up to action a little bit later in the first and then second, third, she was good. But you didn't have anybody else really step up. Bryn Gerlich did a good job at assisting, but she didn't really look herself. Big Cat was not getting as aggressive as she usually does under the basket. I think Kyla Freeland played a really good game for you. She has definitely stepped more into her role, into this increasing amounts of responsibility. She's getting comfortable, and it's really cool to see. But you have people like Jasmine Lewis kind of regressed in this game. Weitenheimer's not, she's just on this, like, still on this slope, and I don't know what it is. And who else was I going
to
talk about?
Jeremy, to be on a slope, you got to be on, like, a higher plane to be on a slope. And I feel like she's been who she is. Tatum Weitenheimer. Like the second she was recruited to come to Texas Tech, we knew what it was. Right, she's gonna come in there.
We knew what it was.
Lock up.
Okay.
She's gonna pass the ball, and she's gonna get a zeros across the stat line. But you know that doesn't mean her. Like she is what she is. Like you know it is. It's, I don't expect too much, and I don't expect too little from Tatum Weitenheimer.
I was gonna say for me, it just hasn't felt the same the past couple of games. You know, she hasn't felt like a utility player as much as a liability. But let's talk about Kyla Freeland.
Yeah, I mean, so. Kyla Freeland, I'm very excited for her because you kind of see it in her, just the way she plays and the things that she can bring to the team, right? She's a good rebounder, long, lengthy. You know, she can still work on some of those things like dribbling the ball a little bit, maybe developing a shot. But she goes out and does a lot of that dirty work, and she is because she does use her length to her advantage defensively. I thought she played this game really well, putting up 11 points, 5 rebounds. She got to get those fouls under control. I think that's what hurt her, right? She didn't play. She put up 20 minutes in this game. She could have had more had she not fouled out, right? You got to get those fouls under control. But there was a lot. I mean, you're talking about the refs in the other Tech West Virginia game. The refs in this game were calling everything too, right? She fouls out. Bree Scott and Big Cat both had 4 fouls themselves. And unfortunately, Bree Scott's streak of 20-point games did end. She only put up 18 points, 7 rebounds. It's so shocking to me that Bree Scott pulls down all these rebounds. 7 rebounds in this game, but...
she's her, man.
Yeah, you know, it's just, it's a bad loss in Morgantown, but... But, you know, it's not the end of the world. This is definitely something that was predictable. This Saturday, they do play Baylor, and that should be a fun one. We haven't had too many games where Baylor coming to Lubbock is winnable. This is an unranked Baylor team because they've struggled this year, right? Baylor has lost 3 of their last 5. When is the last time, Jeremy, that we can say that Baylor has lost 3 of their last 5 and Texas Tech has won 3 of our last 5? We are right now the hotter team, which is very, very interesting. And this will be a game that Texas Tech, who is favored to win in this game? Tech might actually be favored to win in this game. It wouldn't surprise me. And guess what? I'm picking us to win. Another game we're going to get up for. We just lost, right? We're going to be ready for this one. I think Texas Tech gets the dub.
Yeah, I mean, Texas Tech has been playing a lot stronger at home than we've been used to, right? And I think it has come off of the very team-oriented playing. Passing has been much crisper at home. Defensive assignments have been much more consistent at home. There's just a different energy, even with the very minimal crowd. This team just plays better at home, right? No travel. And, of course, let's talk about – you talk about travel. Morgantown in the winter. No thank you. Staying home, you know, getting rest, getting to kind of get your feet back under you. And you're right. Texas Tech is the hotter of the two teams. They've just looked better. And so I'm excited about the next couple of games we have coming up, starting with Baylor. Then we move to Oklahoma State. And then who's after that? Then we have Kansas State again. So you've got kind of two middling teams. And I think I said it a while back, is that like you've got Baylor, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Kansas is kind of like this big, I don't know how they're going to shake up. And so we got a cool little stretch here that we're going to be able to kind of, maybe we can grab Baylor and Oklahoma State and then kind of sit up on top of that. That put us about 5th in conference, you know, just looking at things right now. This team is just a lot better than a lot of people know. I think if you haven't watched enough Lady Raider basketball, you don't know how much better this team has just gotten better each game, right? Even though there's some losses, West Virginia is a really tough one. Oklahoma was a really tough one. Kansas, Iowa State. This team has like glued together a little bit more every time. There's great coaching. There's great chemistry. I enjoy watching Lady Raider basketball because I do feel like they can turn it around in a game and win. Like the West Virginia game, it felt, you know, it was kind of out of reach, but I felt like they could come back on a run. And sure enough, at the end, they really started to grind it out to try to close that gap.
Yeah, absolutely. this will be, it'll be kind of to that point, that middle of the pack in the Big 12, right? You have, I think, three teams in the Big 12 that are going to go to the tournament. They're going to be pretty good. And that's Texas, Oklahoma, and Iowa State. And, but there's that middle section. Like you mentioned it, West Virginia, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Kansas, Texas Tech. We're in that middle section. We need to kind of rack up some of those middle section wins, right? We already have, we were able to beat a bad team in K-State and beat a good team in Texas. And we beat two bad teams, I should say, TCU and Kansas State, and beat a good team in Texas. But now we got to start piling up these wins of the middle teams, right? And winning here at home against Baylor will be a really big one. it'll be a really big one and a really good one. I'm starting to sound like you, Jeremy. A really good one to really separate ourselves, or at least rise up in the pack a little bit. And for Baylor, I think some of the ladies we got to watch out for is Jaden Owens right now, dropping almost six assists per game, over 8 points per game. She's a good one herself. And then you also have Andrews, who is their leading scorer. Sarah Andrews was the big recruit. She stayed on when the coaching change happened, and she's been really big for them, putting up almost 16 points a game. And those two are their best passers. This is another team that also likes to pass the ball. But for them, for Baylor, it has been a struggle playing defense for them a little bit. They've had a few games where they've let the other team put up 70. And guess what? Tech, we can put up points ourselves. We're averaging 70 ourselves right now. So if we can, Baylor will let us do it, and we should go out and do it. And so I think this is a game, I think Tech wins it, because this is a game that really tells people, hey, we're here and we're good. We're a good team. Tourney committee, look at us. Rank us. Even though we just lost to West Virginia. Don't look at that game, but rank us anyway. So moral of the story, men bad. Women still good. They're still good. Just give us a second. We're still good. We'll spin the block around next week if something if that changes. If we take a 20-point drubbing at home, then that might change. I don't know. But but for now, men bad, women decent. Go out this Saturday. Watch them play. Go to Lubbock and watch the women's basketball team play Baylor, big rivalry game, or go to Baton Rouge. That might even be cheaper. To go to Baton Rouge and pay $2 to get in the Pete Maravich Center and watch the two of the worst teams in Power 6 basketball go up against each other. So that's, you know, that's fun. Jeremy, anything else you want to say to the people?
So men's basketball kind of can predict. You can kind of look at it and be like, this is going to be a really awful second half of basketball. Women's basketball have a really good opportunity here. The teams that they're playing in the back half of this thing are going to be like, this is the drive to the tournament. This is what's going to define this year's team for Coach Gerlich to get them into the post game, get them in the postseason conversation, and then set this team up for success next year, especially as a lot of recruits are starting to look at Texas Tech of like, this team's kind of on a rise. Do I want to be a part of that? So keep your eye on it. We have a lot of other sports coming up. Softball is going to get started here. Track and field. Men's track team, I think, ranked second, in UTSF, United States track and field. Yeah. And then women's ranked ninth, I think. So you got two top 10 teams yet again. I mean,
ninth?
No dispute. Texas Tech, I think so.
Yeah, ninth.
Yes. So Texas Tech, we are a track and field school and probably going to be once again in the conversation for a national championship. I'm excited for that. I do have one of the women athletes, Ruth Usoro, in one of my grad classes. I thought that was super funny. Excited. I mean, spring sports are here. Let's just kick back, let basketball do their thing, and then just kind of, you know, warm up with the approach of spring.
Youth Usoro, what a name drop. You know, just now, what a Jeremy's such a popular guy, you know. We all just want to be Jeremy's friend. That's it. He's the man out in the LBK. So for the man that is Jeremy Gillen, that names drops all the stars of Texas Tech lore. This is Albie Shore, and you've been listening to Tortillas and Takes podcast, part of the 1012 Network and the official podcast of Red Raider Sports. As always, stay wrecked, people.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.